Hi, Eddie here. Red and I have used Zencastr to record all of our episodes of Punk Rock Elite because it's easy, browser-based, and it gives us separate tracks that are easy for me to edit. It can also be used for 4K video too. Maybe we'll try that one day. It's really easy to use. It can do a lot of the editing for you, clipping out your ums and ahs, and adding an EQ to bring out the best in your voice, all from a single website. If you want to make a podcast but aren't sure how to go about it, then Zencastr provides everything you need to record, edit, and distribute your new show to Spotify, Apple, and a ton of other places that people get their podcasts. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code PUNKROCKELITE, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Punk Rock Elite, a podcast about NoFX. Hi everyone, Eddie here from Punk Rock Elite. I've just been through the archives and I've put together just a little special something, a little trot back down memory lane of the first year. This is the best of year one, and I've picked out some stuff, even including some bloopers as well, or little bits that got cut out for time consideration. Yes, sometimes we edit stuff out to save you time. Doesn't always appear that way, so you can imagine how long we talk for when we do these things. But we just wanted to say thank you, Red and I. Red isn't doing too well today, health-wise, so it's just me. But thank you so much for listening to us for the past year. It's been a year to the day. The 20th of May was when we first launched this podcast. And for those of you who've been listening since day one, thank you. We love that you're still here. For those of you who have picked us up along the way, glad you came on when you did. And we just wanted to put together a little list of some of the clips that we think typify what we do when we do it the best. So we've got guests from the first year and some little excerpts from those. This would also be really, really handy if you wanted to spread the word about us and you wanted to give people a place to start with us. We thought that'll do as well, won't it? That's a good one. You've got all sorts of people in here. So there's that, punkrockelitepodcast@gmail.com. If we left off your favourite moment from the first year, then let us know what that was. We'd love to hear it. And yes, just a big, big thank you. We're going to start off this with a trip all the way back to the very first interview that we did for this. Robin Leach of Random Hand. We're talking about lyrics and the nature of what is punk, what isn't punk, and all of those kind of things. We talk about that a lot on this podcast. So here he is. Here's Robin. Robin of Random Hand. Do you have a favourite NoFX lyric?
So in the sort of aforementioned period of listening to, you know, sort of sitting in your mate's house listening to various tunes, one of the favourites that would always come up, not least because it would cause us to sort of bop around in quite a silly and clumsy manner, was All Out of Angst, which is a
great choice.
Great.
Wonderful little ska ditty. But the thing that always stood out to me is the little snippet in that where he says, society don't bother me and there's something wrong with that. Which is kind of... what's cool about that is it's almost... I mean, I know the whole, like, you know, what is punk, how do you define punk, et cetera, is like a sort of a modern sort of existential debate which can last for years, and there's sort of a million and one tangents to go off. But I mean, that's a really nice sort of little succinct kind of, you know, because one of the big arguments about punk is the whole point of it is that it's reactionary. You know, it's a reactionary culture, it's reactionary music, it's reactionary lyrics. And I think that just, it just sort of sums it up really nicely in quite a sort of a, almost a kind of a flippant throwaway kind of, you know, kind of way of phrasing it.
He sounds bored when he sings it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Delivery is even kind of disinterested, which is great. Yeah. Lovely stuff from Robin. We are going to skip from Leeds all the way down to Wiltshire. We're going to go and find ourselves in the People's Republic of Chippenham and talk to Will Hodgson. Will's episode is incredible. If you want a tiptoe through subcultures all over the place from the 90s and noughties, then it's such a great episode. There's so much there. There's plenty of NoFX talk, but there's plenty of other stuff as well. And here we're talking about one of Will's other passions, which is ska. And if you get Will started on a topic, they will not stop until they have said everything they have to say about it. So makes for a perfect, perfect guest. Will Hodgson.
American ska's got a funny sort of pedigree, because I think a lot of American people associate with like real, I do actually like Real Big Fish, but they're kind of more of a pop punk band with trumpets rather than a ska band to me, because it's very much on beat. It's kind of like marching band music rather than like ska music. It goes like pump 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 like that rather than like ska music. Yeah. It's not as like, it's more moshy than dancey. But that Operation Ivy album is a fucking belter. That's another one that I bought. Yeah. I bought it from Replay on CD, and I wish I'd bought the vinyl. The amount of vinyl I wish I'd fucking bought from Replay back then. I should have bought Operation Ivy on Energy on vinyl. Mm. I bought the CD in the end. But there was a lot of they had loads and loads of like Epitaph and Fat Wreck stuff. Like, just sort of looking back now, I think like, cross, I wish I'd fucking bought it all on that rather than on cassette now. Because I didn't realise that I'd be playing vinyl all day in a barber shop back then. And I just would like to have had more than, but that's, I still play that Rancid one even now. And that's like, fucking tremendous album. Tim Armstrong's on his day is a fucking genius, I think.
Yeah. Have you heard the new Rancid have just released like three new songs on their upcoming album? And it sounds vintage.
It's quite good, I think.
I was really impressed.
Yeah, I like the Tomorrow Never Comes one. I think it's good. I think it's good. There's always something I like on their records, but those like for those first lot, especially Outcome the Wolves, fucking hell, that's still top five all time punk, I think, like of anyone's, gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, yeah, Outcome the Wolves is just lightning in a bottle, really. It's a fantastic bit of work. Always a pleasure hearing from Will. We're leaving England now altogether, the UK, even though he lives here, but we're talking to Sully O'Sullivan, New Zealand's favourite son, except for the Hobbit movie guy, maybe. But culturally as important, I feel. Talking about how being from New Zealand limits the access you have to live performance. And in those days, we're talking a sort of when the internet was sort of arriving rather than it being a regular everyday bit of life, how you get to find out all of these things, which is something which I think a lot of us take for granted these days. But here we go. Sully O'Sullivan. Cool. Do you remember hearing NoFX for the first time?
So I don't remember hearing them for the first time, but in terms of sort of getting into them, so to speak. Like I literally mentally, I said to someone yesterday that, we're doing this podcast today, and I literally said to them, I hope they don't ask me when I first, discovered NoFX, because it's borderline embarrassing. So I'm at a festival in the UK. I'm there with a girlfriend at the time. She knew the type of music I liked. We're going through the bands that are playing. And she's like, oh, NoFX are on at that time. I assume you want to go and see them. And I'm like, I've heard of NoFX. Like, but who, what do I know if they played? And she's like, you must know NoFX, And I'm like, so anyway, we went along. And it was one of those things where like every second or third song, for me, it was like, oh, yeah, I know this.
Of course.
And by that time, they'd already been around some time. So you start digging into back catalog and things like that. And it was almost like a sort of steep curve from, do I know NoFX? to, I've got all this stuff by NoFX.
Yeah.
I must go and see them next time they're around.
No, that's so cool. Would that have happened when you would come over to the UK? That would have happened.
I was already in the UK when that was it. Because this is the other thing, is that bands of a certain level, because like NoFX, you know, obviously huge cult following, but they're not stadium fillers in that respect. So you don't expect them to play a 30,000 seater stadium. And so those, you know, bands of, I don't want to say their level because it sounds patronizing, but of that ilk, don't necessarily make it very often all the way down to New Zealand. You know, it's a long way to go. And if they do, they might do it once or twice, and they'll do it as part of a festival lineup for something like Big Day Out, which is one of our main festivals in Australasia. But even then, that's only a one-day festival. It's not like the sort of 3 days you get for almost most festivals here in the UK with the camping either side and all that kind of carry-on. So, I mean, I'll be honest, I would need to check if they've even made it out as far as New Zealand ever.
I've just had a look, actually. I've literally just Googled, have NoFX played New Zealand? And according to guestpatacular.com, NoFX has played in New Zealand 8 out of 1,718 concerts.
So, you know what? 8 is more than I would have picked. 8 is definitely more than I would have picked.
Fair enough.
Well, I imagine that is probably 4 years of like Big Day Out style festivals in two cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing you do, so I know like throwing to a completely different punk band, like The Business, I know they played out in New Zealand, but that was, for them, that was part of the bit where they're like, you know, intentionally going to, you know, as far away as they could possibly go kind of phase, where people are almost touring for shits and giggles as opposed to, you know, actually making any money out of it.
Yeah. I suppose if you're thinking we're not going to be making any money anyway, we might as well go and just have the experience and write it off with the rest of this.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, just numerically, Australia's a bigger country, but once you're there, yeah, it's only another 3 hours on a plane from Sydney.
Yeah. Well, and I suppose, you know, that's the same as, you know, oh, we're in Italy, but Luxembourg, we can go and do that one. You probably would.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those weird, it's the way you think about things, because in terms of miles, Sydney to Auckland is actually further than London to Tunisia.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually further. While people, you know, because people always say, oh, New Zealand, Australia, oh, they're next to each other. They're next to each other only in respect that there's nothing else around New Zealand.
Right. I mean, that's certainly a trap I've fallen into, as we've just witnessed. Now we're just going to drop in a handful of little deleted semi-blooper, semi-outtakey things, because we were having a bit of a laugh, but they don't always fit with what we're talking about. So here is just a few bits of Red and I mucking around, as if you've not heard enough of that. If Blink-182 were allowed to stay up to watch horror films, that's what Alkaline Trio would be.
Yeah, okay, that's the perfect description of Alkaline Trio. That's genuinely amazing.
I still have it in my head that Blink-182 aren't allowed to stay up too late. I've really infantilized these men in my own mind. I'm like, oh, if I think a song of theirs could have done with another pass in editing or something. That's okay, they got homework to do, haven't they? Can't. They're 50. Stop going. Anyway, that's my own little headcanon. I have headcanons for so many bands, though. I like a lot of sitcoms. All bands live in the same house in my mind. Oh, it's breakfast at the Rancid House. That one's quite like the Young Ones, to be fair.
Yeah. Lars just fucking breaks through the wall or whatever.
Yeah. Tim stands up to do a poem. I'm the Purple's Pirate.
We're going to learn about Eddie's relationship with NoFX, what turned him onto them, what he enjoys about them.
Sorry, I'm just going to pause there. They.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
What a piece of shit I am.
You're not.
Oh, God.
It's fine. No, it's fine. It's just because I'm dead butch, people forget.
Same. Because we're a right pair of they-thems, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, the straight edge thing that came out of one guy saying, this is my perspective. I play by these rules. And then a load of people went, quickly, we've got new rules. And it all went a bit Life of Brian. And, you know, it's like, Ian MacKay is the messiah and we've got to follow what he says.
I actually think he's a very naughty boy.
I think Ian MacKay, very naughty boy. Keep that for some merch later. If you want one of our Ian MacKay is a very naughty boy t-shirts, let us know.
I genuinely want an Ian MacKay is a very naughty boy t-shirt.
I mean, when you come to see us at Manchester Punk Festival the beginning of April, we will be wearing those t-shirts if we remember to make them. We might have to do a sort of a dedicated episode to trying to just understand exactly why NoFX fans can't stand NoFX. I'll make a note later.
And to be fair, I mean, hey, NoFX don't like themselves, so it probably starts there.
I often see that, but it's always Mike saying it. I don't know if the other three are like, well, I thought I was quite good on that album, actually.
That's a good point.
They never have right of reply. Like Hefe going, but that solo was really good, mate. I don't know what. Oh, all right. Sometimes it does seem like Fat Mike is a really embarrassing drunk husband of a rather sort of demure, sort of laced up wife at a dinner party where they're going, oh, the NoFXs are here. Oh, good. Do sit down. Oh, yes. And Mike's sort of on his fifth martini and the others are going, oh, just mineral water for me. We're driving. And you go, oh, do you know what the NoFXs? I really enjoyed your last album. That album sucked. Yes, I rather suppose it did, dear. We're very sorry. It's really, really weird. You can see why we kept those for a special occasion, can't you? Now, if you thought, is Eddie really going to compile a list of favourite memories from the first year of Punk Rock Elite? Are they going to leave out You Know Who? Well, no, we're not. This next clip is from Karina Danike talking about a very unlikely lineup that she was involved in and some other stuff too. Her episode was super fun. I was starstruck throughout. Hopefully that doesn't come across, but I was absolutely thrilled to have Karina Danike on, and it's still one of the things that I always say first when people ask about the podcast. Go, oh, what's this? Oh, we've had Karina Danike on. So absolutely thrilled with it. And here's a fun section of that interview. Do you have a favorite memory of NoFX?
I actually do have one that's going to jump out. I can't say these ones are my favorite, but there's one that's jumping out that I'll just...
Whichever one jumps out. Yeah, great.
Which is, we played with the Misfits. Dancehall Crashers opened for NoFX. And I want to say it was in Copenhagen, but it might have actually been... This is like 19... Oh, I'm terrible at years, too. I think it was like 98 or something, or 9. Mm-hmm. And we played in this tiny club. And it was small for some reason. And we opened for NoFX and the Misfits. And it was kind of just like the most random. We were in this very, like it was like probably like 500 size club, or it felt even smaller than that, but like maybe 300 to 500. Like, I don't know why we were in such a small club. And then Mike got on stage with them and sang with them. Oh, and I do have some photographs from back from them that I have drag out. And also just going backstage and seeing them like working out.
Okay.
And how big they were. I'm not one of those people that's afraid very much. You know, I lived in bad neighborhoods. I've been traveled a lot. I'm not a very afraid person, but I have to say I was actually kind of a little bit afraid of them. Just like on seeing them in person and how big they were, like in real life, like their muscles, and they're just working out, like backstage, just really, I was like, what the hell? And, you know, just to kind of see that in person, and then, you know, getting their, just their stage show on, and then Mike being so excited and getting on stage with them. And I don't know why, for some reason that sticks out in my head. Because it was a bit, it was just really random.
That is, it's, that well, really is weird.
Why are we here with the Misfits? No, it doesn't make any sense.
That's
when it pops out.
I'm still trying to put Dancehall Crashers and Misfits on the same bill. And
it made no sense.
I'm having to crowbar one of them really hard to get the other one. It's that's wild. That's incredible.
It definitely felt like legendary. You know, this is a moment I will always remember like this. But it's so weird. Because we weren't touring with them either. It was just this one date that we did with them. It was really strange. Maybe we did two dates, but that was the weirder one for me. I remember just being like, we're a small club with Misfits.
In Copenhagen.
In Copenhagen. What is happening? Really strange.
That is a pinch me. This must be some sort of fever dream. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you still lightly afraid? Did you speak to the Misfits? Did they make feel any less frightened?
They were nice, but they were intimidating. Like I don't feel intimidated very much. Actually, like I said, I don't feel like. Yeah, I don't feel intimidated by people per se, or you know, probably a couple of my huge heroes. I would be for sure, but for some reason they're so kind of larger than life in reality. They're larger than life. It's just, you know, it's not just like, oh my God, it's, you know, it's Misfits. Like you're just, there's also kind of like a physically larger than life. They kind of just feel very, so I did feel, I was not afraid at the end, but I definitely kept, I was like, well, you're kind of scaring me a little bit. I'm just going to go back.
Well, that's, I suppose with a band like Guar or something, there's an awful lot of like sort of platforms and sort of costumes and stuff where it's like, no, we are our own costumes, thanks.
But actually, Guar, and they come to our shows, they come see us play, and they're so sweet. Hey. So sweet. Like, that's why it's funny. It's like, that's kind of what I'm used to, is like the feeling of like, it's Guar, you know, blood. And then they're like, hey, how's it going? Like, so nice backstage. You're just kind of confused by where I didn't feel that way with them, Misfits. That's why I was like, oh, they're a little scary. Yeah. Totally fine. Totally nice. Not mean or anything.
Hello, everyone. Eddie here. Red and I hope you're enjoying our show. If you have been and would like to help us make it a little more easily, then you can donate to us at our Ko-fi page, which is ko-fi.com/punkrockelite, or you can look in the show notes for our link tree. If you can't help us financially, we totally understand, but would love it if you spread the word to other people who would like this podcast. We thank you for your continued support. We massively appreciate it. Back to the show. Karina Danike there. Still a thrill that she's been on the show at all. What a joy. We've also, no less joyous coming up right now, Lily from the Mefs, a fantastic guest. If you have anything, she's just up for a chat at pretty much all times. Absolutely wonderful. So invite her to anything that you're involved in. Super, super fun. This is still our favourite... Yeah, our favourite answer to who is your favourite member of NoFX. Well, you'll find out who our favourite member is. Lily from the Mefs. Lily of the Mefs, who's your favourite member of NoFX?
Oh, I probably... can I rank them?
No one has ever done this. Absolutely, yeah. Please.
This is
great. Yes.
Yes, please.
Coming in at number four.
I'll start in number one.
Oh, okay.
Because we've got a joint number one.
You're making it even more embarrassing for who's number four.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we got a tie at number one.
Oh, okay.
So we got Melvin. We got El Hef. And we got Smelly at number one. And then I can't remember who the other member is, but the other one, the one that does the four string thing. Well, I don't really know what the instrument is. That
I was going to say, you
the noise bassist. What is?
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, four strings. You've got to add two more.
Lazy, yeah, isn't it?
Slack. I think it's Mick. Mick. Mick is number two.
Big,
yeah.
Mick.
Yeah, Mick is last. Yeah.
Mick Gordo. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mick Pickett. Yeah.
This is the best questionnaire we've ever had filled in. I'm going to say
I
it
love
now.
That. That's good. It's honest. You like honesty. You
we
said
really
at some point,
do.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is going to take some beating. So
honesty. Unless Mike, you're watching, in which case, always number one, baby. Always number one.
Always love Lily from the Meffs. Wonderful, wonderful guest. Great episode. If you've not listened to it or you've forgotten about it, listen to it again. It's so much fun. Another big episode for us was the one with Frank Turner, who agreed almost instantly to be on the podcast. He was incredibly generous with his time. He has appeared on two episodes. One of them was about the record that he made with NoFX, the West Coast versus Wessex. Which we completely neglected to mention on the episode that this excerpt comes from. But in this one, we talk about what is punk, what isn't punk, and we use NoFX as the prism through which to analyse that particular question. And Frank is a very erudite and thoughtful guy when it comes to these kind of things. Nothing he says is said lightly, and he gives great chat. Everyone who we've had on has given great chat. There's no two ways about it, but this was particularly cool and felt very sort of candid, and that's why I selected this little bit here. Frank Turner.
This is the other thing. We were talking about punk earlier. I promise this is relevant. I'm not just predictably dragging this ball and chain of a conversation back to where we started.
No.
The punk rock is sanctuary and it is acceptance and it is all of those things. Hold on. So this, I'm getting grand theory for a second here, but like one of the things for me is that like I do feel that in the last couple of decades there's been a bit of a kind of movement towards punk rock sort of being a synonym for niceness. In a way that I'm slightly uncomfortable with. And as in, it's like it's punk if it's just sort of pleasant or kind or considerate or something like that. And like, I'm arguably as responsible for that as many other people might be. But it also reminds me of kind of like Calvin Johnson, K Records, and that sort of strand of punk. There's a bit of kind of late 80s positive hardcore kind of PMA kind of in the mix as well. But it's sort of, I mean, to be, you know, the be kind, be more kind, that was my, you know, there is a kind of sense in which there are people, there. I feel like there are younger people, and I mean, ultimately, like, punk means whatever the people using the word choose it to mean, but like, you know, sort of, punk just means being kind of nice to people, and I slightly, that feels like it's not the full story to me, or it feels, you know, to me, there is also a strand of punk rock, which is just kind of like, rejectionist. It's kind of it's just offensive, or it has the potential to be offensive. I'm not sure it's needlessly offensive, but like, you know, I feel like there was a big debate about Mike kind of like kicking some guy who grabbed him around the neck, you know, and it was like, which was just horseshit from top to bottom, incidentally. Like Mike said, I've got a bad back, and also it doesn't matter if you're punk or not. If somebody fucking grabs you around the neck while you're on stage, like that is, and let me tell you, as somebody who does it for a fucking living, that is a moment that you react. Do you know what I mean? And not only do you react, you're within your fucking rights to react as well. Regardless, there were a lot of people kind of going, oh, that was, you know, and people trying to sort of like kind of adjudicate whether the first kick was justified, but the second one perhaps wasn't justified, and all this kind of thing. And it was just a bit kind of like, do you guys know who TSOL are? Do you know what I mean? And like, what do you think was like going on at like at punk shows in the 80s and like the Dwarves, do you know what I mean? Or fucking Butthole Surfers
or somewhere else.
And it's like, so I'm not sure. I mean, first of all, who cares is an important caveat to this whole thing. But my own personal feeling about punk rock is there has to be a kind of like slightly kind of anarchic thumbing of the nose kind of spirit to it, as well as it just being kind of warm and welcoming. Both things kind of need to be in the mix for me. And so, like, the reason I think of all of this, and I promise I'm going somewhere relevant with this, is that, like, I just thought it was so fucking cool that, and I still do, incidentally, that the first song on So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes is It's My Job to Keep Punk Rock Elite. Because it's like a song that is calculated to piss everybody off at the same time. Because, I mean, and in a way that is, I now know to be a unique skill of Mike's and one that I take my hat off to, because it's just, it's like, it's a fuck you to the mainstream, but it's kind of a fuck you to the underground as well. And it's a fuck you to new bands, but it's kind of a fuck you to old bands. And it's just this sort of like revolving 360 flipping the bird of a song, which I just think is fantastic. And I back it to the hilt, do you know what I mean? And it's a signature move, yeah.
But just being that self-proclaimed, now I'm the one who decides.
Totally. Well, and just using
is,
the...
Such a gatekeeping, neckbeardy move. But saying it deliberately to upset people in that gatekeeping, neckbeardy way.
Right, yeah. Completely. And also, in point of fact, he is one of the people who gets to say that. Thank you very much. I mean, that's been one of the other features of recent years, has been kind of like, you know, I don't think that punk should be like age deferential, really. But I mean, there's been the specter in more recent years of kind of kids who were born in like the late 90s trying to tell Fat Mike what isn't punk. And I'm just like, point of order, please.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's not age, it's sort of achievement, I suppose, isn't it?
Right. Do you know what I mean? And well, and so now we move on to the fact that, like, I mean, I would say, with some degree of confidence, that Mike is the punkest person I know, full stop. And like, I think he'll probably, well, first of all, I mean, no aspersion on your podcast, but I doubt Mike would listen to a podcast about NoFX. That seems like a thing Mike probably wouldn't do.
No doubt in my mind, he wouldn't enjoy it.
But if he did, he might take exception to what I'm about to say, but fuck it, I don't care. Sure. He talked about me on the documentary about me and said some hilarious shit, so fuck you, Mike. But basically, like, I mean, I think there is a slightly kind of cinematic kind of urge to say, oh, I don't care what anyone thinks about me in the punk scene and in society more generally. And first of all, it's almost never true. And it probably shouldn't be true, because there's something almost kind of like on the spectrum about not caring what anyone thinks about you. I'm not sure how desirable a trait that actually is in real life. Nevertheless, the only person who I know well of whom I would say that is true is Mike. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. And it is the punkest shit ever. And like, we've been friends for well over a decade now, and I consider him a good friend, but there are still plenty of moments when I'm just like, fuck, that fucking hell, dude. Like, and I say that with love, but like, he's punk as fuck. Like, he doesn't care.
Frank Turner there. That was a great episode. We were both hugely touched, basically, at how willing he was to spend his time with us chatting about all this kind of stuff. And that's because, as he mentions elsewhere in the episode, he is still a fan and tries very hard to maintain being a fan, even if he ends up friends with people that he started out as fans of. And I think that's a really, really cool thing. Well, we've got one more clip. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want to share this particular episode around to people who may be humming and haring about listening to a podcast about NoFX, let them know that we do all sorts of stuff as well as NoFX-centric stuff, where you can use NoFX as a springboard to discuss other things. And that would really, really help us. If you've enjoyed us at all at any point this year, thank you for giving us a chance. There's lots of stuff to fill your days up with these days, and why you would choose us is still likely baffling, but really, really appreciated. So if you can't help us out through any of the ways we mention in our little message in the middle of the episodes, then just share it about, let people know about it. You know, they might thank you. It would be great if they thanked you. That would be great. But we would thank you for doing that. So we're giving the last word on today's episode to Ali Bryce, comedian and NoFX superfan, who I just love the impassioned dissertation that he gives on why he loves NoFX. And fantastic. Great episode. Really great episode. So thank you ever so much for listening. We give you Ali Bryce. What age did you say you were when you first heard NoFX? And then was it then that you sort of really got into the sort of the punk rock side of things?
I was probably about 13 or 14 when my younger brother played me NoFX. And like I said before, I really didn't like it. You know, at that point, I'd been listening to, I probably had the opinion that, songs have to be at least 3 minutes to be a proper song. So when I heard Murder the Government, I was like, no, that's rubbish. But I think I was already listening to Blink and Green Day. But it was NoFX when I finally got into them that like opened up the world of punk rock. And I think that's a natural progression, like Blink, Green Day, NoFX. And then through that, I got into like Fat Wreck and then into record labels. You know, and like kind of figuring all that stuff out. But I can't really, I've been listening to them and loving them for so long now, I can't really remember the moment when I like fell in love with NoFX. I just, gotcha. It's so ingrained in me now. Like I listen to them most weeks, if not most days. So, yeah. And I think what they do is, I mean, Fat Mike's obviously the captain of the ship, but I just think everything that he has done, you know, independent band, he's done it his own way. You know, there's no like underhand, there's nothing wrong with what he's done. Like he may be a punk rock millionaire, but he's not made his money in a bad way. He's just done what he wants and taken his best friends along with him, you know, and then through Fat Wreck, given all these like bands careers. And in a way, I think kept punk rock alive for people. So that's why I like them. It's more than just the music, which is awesome. It's the whole like world around it. And I don't know any other bands where I know the roadies or follow them on Instagram. And like I'm interested in like people outside the band. I think it's wicked. I just love it.
Thank you for listening to Punk Rock Elite. It was a Pick Scraped and Fruitcake co-production by Eddie French and Red Redmond. If you're not following us on Instagram or subscribe to the podcast, please do. The main theme and production was done by Eddie French. Please contact us at punkrockelitepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.